Welcome to Real Talk, Real Estate Discussions with Andrew Kirsch. In each episode, Andrew interviews industry leaders. We'll hear their real-time opinions on today's market, their background and unique career highlights, and guidance for newcomers into the industry. You can find this show at scholarkirsch.com and on YouTube, LinkedIn, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and more. Now here's the host of Real Talk, Andrew Kirsch.
Episode 15 of Real Talk. In this episode, we pivot. We have a conversation about PropTech, specifically OpenPath, and with my good friend, James Siegel, who's the co-founder of OpenPath. Now, OpenPath is a company that's created the complete access control solution. Their access control system is created with thermal technologies designed to secure everything from a single door, an office, global enterprise with multiple buildings. They've really done a phenomenal job of being able to control access, security, employment, employee entrance into any type of controlled space, whether it's an office building, an industrial building, common areas of apartments, churches, schools, you name it. And they've been so successful and were so successful that they sold the company to Motorola Solutions in 2021. It's a great conversation that I had with James that really demonstrates the power of PropTech and how anyone that owns or manages real estate should think about how technology can improve their operations. Hope you enjoy my conversation with James Siegel.
Hello, welcome to another edition of Real Talk. Today, it is my honor and privilege to have my good friend, James Siegel, president and co-founder of OpenPath, which is now part of Motorola Solutions. James, how you doing, man?
I'm wonderful, Andrew. Thanks so much for having me here on Real Talk with Andrew Kirsch.
I appreciate that. So we're making history here, James.
We are. Am I the first tech prop tech person you've had on this this podcast?
I mean, I think Keith Wasserman would probably claim that he's prop tech, but he's nothing like you, James Siegel.
Look, he's a lot better looking and certainly wealthier. So, you know, we all aspire to be Keith Wasserman. I would say this, though, that investing in prop tech is always different than actually having to build, operate, and run a prop tech business. And he's kind of done a little bit of both. So he is kind of like, you know, wears multiple hats. But anyway, enough about Keith.
Well, let's talk about you and let's talk about your prop tech. And I feel, though, that the professionals in the technology world, let's get this out of the way. I do feel professionals in the technology world who have built tech companies from scratch look at themselves in a different light than real estate professionals. That tech people look at real estate professionals as investors, but not really those that have run their own companies.
I mean, there's so many facets to real estate, and the folks that build buildings, operate and manage properties, you know, finance and sort of do sort of deals around those, so that I would say that many of the people in the real estate space operate businesses, know how to build and operate, you know, organizations and companies, and deal with a lot more complexity perhaps than I even do. But there's a huge finance component and deal component to what you do, right? Yeah. Like so much of what you're involved in, I believe, you know, is really on the deal side. You know, you're about buying and selling businesses, getting them financed, and those businesses are real estate investments, properties, entities. But look, there's a lot of operating challenges that go into having a huge campus or a huge property or portfolio of buildings, and people issues, technology issues, all that stuff. So I would say that within the real estate world, the folks who control things, you know, asset managers, owners, they're not operating a technology company like I am, but they're operating a serious entity and enterprise that has all the complexities of everything. So I don't know.
All right, so there it is. So a tech professional, valuing a real estate professional, and their worth to society. All right, let's get into OpenPath. So for my audience who predominantly, is a real estate focused audience, tell them what is OpenPath.
Sure. So we started OpenPath 6 years ago, and we are a physical access control company. So any time you've walked up to a building and tried to get in, and there's an electrified door with a card reader, that is what our technology is. We are an access control system. So we allow you to basically unlock or lock the door. It's a perimeter security protection as well as, interior doors. And any kind of asset class uses access control. So you've seen it on schools, warehouses, ports of entry, apartment buildings, commercial office buildings, you name it, you'll find physical access control. We built a company that was a little different in how we approached that problem. Our goal was to make access control an elegant add-on to your building. So instead of kind of some ugly black box that sits there at the door, there's an elegantly designed reader that really aesthetically looks good and makes you feel like it's kind of high tech. A little bit like when you walk into a house that has an old thermostat, or you walk into a house that has a new Nest thermostat, you're like, oh, okay, it's an upgrade. And then we wanted to make the functionality of the system a lot more intuitive and sort of consistent with how we live our lives day to day. So instead of having to carry a key card around to unlock the door every time, you can use your mobile phone. So we built technology into the phone and into the reader that allows you to not just have to unlock the sort of door with your phone, take out your phone, open an app, press a button and unlock it, but actually made it magical. You can keep the phone in your pocket. You'll walk up to the door. You just wave your hand at the door unlocks, you walk in. And so it's that kind of Tesla-like experience where you don't really have to think about it. You're authenticated based on the fact that you have the credential in your pocket. And so that has sort of changed the dynamic of how people interact with buildings now and security systems. And we were kind of the first person to sort of innovate and take this to the next level with this magical experience. And that's what attracted Motorola to acquire us over a year and a half ago. And now our access control technology is part of Motorola Solutions' broader physical security set of technology that they do. So video surveillance, access control, and a host of other capabilities that allow buildings to really sort of protect their assets.
So 6 years ago, or longer, I would assume, you're sitting around, your house, your on the toilet, you're in the shower, you're in.
I do all those things almost every day. I sit around my house.
Well, not every day, but yeah. What was it? What was the light bulb that went into your head that said, this is a company that needs to be created? This is a solution or an issue that needs to be solved?
So at the time, my business partner and I have built and sold, I don't know, four different technology companies over the last 20, 25 years. And every time we have a company, we have to build it from scratch. We have to get an office or multiple offices, hire people. And our last business, we had data centers all over the world, offices all over the world. And we were actually part of Verizon. We had sold it to Verizon. And so I literally had a bag full of badges to access all of the different offices and data centers that we would visit around the world. And I would kind of take my bag with 25 badges in it, and I kind of wave it in front of a door as I got to a city and one of them would unlock the door.
Right.
That seemed so tremendously inefficient and certainly not very safe and secure. And so the idea of moving the credential from this piece of plastic that pollutes the world and is not that secure. It can be cloned and copied actually pretty easy by anybody at a 7-Eleven. They have these little machines there. You can go clone your key card. We decided to move it to an encrypted supercomputer that you carry in your pocket, your cell phone. And it just made a ton of sense that was a great business opportunity to make what is today a security technology that is not very secure and not very user-friendly into something that is much more secure and much more friendly. And then when we looked at the industry, we noticed, holy cow, there's a lot of businesses operating in the access control space. It's highly fragmented, so we like that. There's a lot of older technology that hasn't really been innovated. The trends of cloud technology and mobile technology hadn't really changed this industry just yet. They hadn't adopted these. And so we said, wow, there's an opportunity to kind of take the playbook that we'd used and deployed in many other technology spaces, bringing cloud or bringing mobile in, and basically moving that industry forward. And so we said we could do that in the physical security space. And then we also knew that there was a place that we could target in terms of, you know, commercial buildings that we thought would be a great sweet spot to start with. And then we could expand out from there because we understood the commercial tenant. We were ourselves commercial tenants. We knew that if you have an access control system that can integrate with Okta, Active Directory, Slack, all the different things that you use to manage employees in your company, it would be great because you wouldn't have to keep, you know, users managed independently in an Excel worksheet. Think about the idea, you know, you add a new employee to your company, they're instantly given access to the access control system and a mobile credential is emailed to them because you added them to Workday or to Okta or to, you know, G Suite. And then the minute you terminate that employee and they're removed from your IT systems, their physical access to the building is instantly removed. So we knew we could do those kind of integrations, and that would be a huge differentiator for commercial tenants and commercial buildings that could also be really appealing to the commercial landlords. So all of that got us excited about the category, and that's why we started the business.
Yeah. And so we started the business. How long did it take you to develop the technology?
So we started the business in 2016, spent mm-hmm. 2 years in stealth mode building the technology, and then we launched in the summer of 2018. And then we were acquired in 21, in July of 21.
Wow. So that's, I mean, compared to your other businesses, is that it's quick? Fast. That is fast. Seemed fast.
Yeah, so we weren't planning on it. It just happened that Motorola came along and said, look, we love what you're doing. We think mm-hmm. this combines so well with our technology roadmap and what we're doing in terms of, you know, market growth. We'd love you to be part of what we're doing. And when they sort of showed us the valuation and showed us their plans and sort of it made a ton of sense. Like, wow, these folks are executing really well on the market. Let's join them.
Was there a broker or a banker that was an intermediary, or how did they find you?
They literally called us up. They had been doing research in the market and staying abreast of a lot of the up and coming technology companies. They've actually grown through acquisition as well as through organic growth. So Motorola's story is, Motorola Solutions is, you know, well known for the radio communications capabilities that they have, you know, the handheld push-to-talk radios and all the different technology that you see. I mean, literally any policeman or fireman or ambulance, everyone's using Motorola, right? What they were not doing as well was extending into other parts of the physical security space. And so about 5 years ago, they bought a company called Avigilon. And that was a very well-known public video surveillance company that has a great artificial intelligence analytics package associated with its really high quality cameras and video management systems. And that became the basis for a new division at the company called the Video Security and Access Control Division. And since then, they've acquired a whole bunch of other companies, a video company called Pelco, Indigo Vision, OpenPath, a video company called Ava, Envision, video tech, a whole bunch of different, you know, great technologies around video security and access control. We, OpenPath being just one of those. And they've built a, you know, huge business that is really becoming a market leader in the space. And I'm just super tickled pink about it. And so now we're continuing to grow. And I'm actually, my job changed. I was in charge of OpenPath along with my business partner. And now I'm doing sort of inside sales and marketing for the whole division. And so I get responsibility for all the video surveillance technology as well as the access control technology. And it's just really very cool.
I mean, we could do a whole podcast on, what it's like to be an entrepreneur and then working for a mega company. And so I may ask you a couple questions about that, but let's go back to 2018. So the technology, has been created, took you 2 years, and now you're going to essentially clients of mine. And I remember you and I talking during those years of, you know, what clients of mine may want to utilize this technology. So what, walk me through some of those first discussions with office landlords. And, you know, like you said, you know, the real estate business is maybe real estate and law are the two businesses which I'm in are dinosaur type businesses where it's hard for real estate professionals to get up to speed on technology. I think they're getting to a point where they're evolving and incorporating technology more and more, especially with what we talked about, prop tech. So talk about those first few meetings and what was the reaction?
We started with tenants before we went to the landlords because it really resonated with tenants. Tenants could understand, oh, wow, I want this to be easier for my employees. I want to have better control. I want better security. And so we started to get great traction with tenants and sort of, you know, work through the kinks on the product and make sure it was really sound. And then when you go and you sort of talk
before, to them, just to cut you off, the tenants that you were going to, were they tenants in multi-tenant buildings or single tenant, like more industrial type buildings where they controlled the entire space?
Both. Okay. But we would run into a problem, as you would anticipate, when we would go to a multi-tenant building. And the building had a legacy access control system, and there was not a willingness there with the property manager to, you know, upgrade the legacy access control system. So the employee at the tenant would still have to carry two cards, right? One to enter their workspace with OpenPath, and then one to enter the building with whatever legacy system they had. The good thing is we reduced the need for the card, at least for the OpenPath tenant, because they could just use their phone. So now, instead of carrying two cards, as they often would, one for their office space and then another for their building and for their parking, they were at least carrying one. But it became a conversation about, okay, when you go to the landlord and you sort of talk to them about what is it that they want to do with their physical security system, there's different stages, right? So there's net new buildings that are coming up out of the ground, and those buildings want to have the latest and greatest technology. They want to be future-proof. So you want to make sure that you're building something that is really compelling and appealing to prospective tenants and showing that you've invested in the amenities around prop tech differentiates your property. And it used to be a real cutting edge differentiation when a builder did that. Now it's kind of table stakes, right? So people expect tenant amenity apps. They expect the ability to have a lot of the different sort of visitor management, security, and, you know, automated parking systems, and a host of other capabilities, including access control. But it wasn't necessarily that way 5 years ago. And so there was an argument to be had, all right, it specify us into the new build, but that wasn't gonna sell me anything right away. It takes a year or 2 years to come out of the ground. Then there were buildings that had a capital budget that was sort of in process of, you know, taking an 8-year-old or a 9-year-old access control system and upgrading it. And so there's always about 10% of a given portfolio of real estate that is going through an upgrade cycle. So it's a matter of catching those property managers at that moment in time when they're evaluating a system to upgrade to. And when they looked at ours, it was a no-brainer because clearly it's a lot easier to use. It's a lot more efficient. It reduces their need to have on-site property managers constantly, you know, issuing credentials and giving them out. A lot of these buildings, they'll actually have the parking team, which is a separate management company, managing the credentials for the building so that the end users only have one. And so they have to create an Excel list, put it on a thumb drive, walk down to the parking office, have the parking person then put it into the local computer, issue the credentials. And that process takes like a couple of days, and it's a pain in the butt for the property manager and for the parking person and for the office manager, the tenant. And so now the fact that it's all automated, all in the system, all on the phone, just made it a lot easier. And that friction reduced the burden on the property manager. And of course, the system was just less expensive as a result of not having to charge for cards and not having to deal with the upkeep of a server on site and all that stuff. So there was a compelling value prop, but I was only talking or addressing the net new buildings and the buildings that had a budget to, capital budget. The rest of the folks, they were hard pressed to take something that wasn't really broken and upgrade and fix it. And so that's when COVID changed everything. Mm-hmm. So if you go to kind of the next chapter in the story, we went from being a nice to have to a must have. Because during COVID, it became very clear that nobody wanted to actually, you know, go into the building anymore. And you had to have the ability to remotely manage the security of your office space and all the doors, if you're a tenant, and then all of the doors, internal and external, if you're a landlord. And with our technology, because it's web-based, it's cloud-based, you can access it from anywhere. You suddenly have all these remote capabilities where from your phone, a property manager can just basically lock down a floor, an elevator, a door, can send a credential to somebody, can enable all these capabilities without having to go into the building, go into the security office, boot up the computer, log in, and then, you know, add and create credentials and do all these things. Imagine, you know, when COVID happened, every schedule on every common door changed, right? The elevator schedules changed, all the schedules on the lobby doors, the loading dock schedules changed. And these are all doors that are on, you know, they lock at certain times and open at certain times. So all of that had to be redone. And the fact that we had technology that made that so much easier, plus was an enhancement to the tenant to let them come and go, it became a much more obvious choice to now upgrade the system to OpenPath. And so that was a big help for us.
Yeah. And so were you just inundated with calls from landlords of for help? I mean, as opposed to you knocking on people's doors, they were proverbially, you know, in the proverbial sense, knocking on yours.
I would love to tell you they were knocking on ours. The landlords at the time didn't know it existed, so they didn't know to knock on our door. So we spent a lot of time getting in front of them. But when we did, we found that there was a much more compelling reason for them to move fast and act fast. So if you look at some of our earlier wins in the real estate space, especially the commercial real estate space, Lincoln Property Company is a great example of a company that leaned in on technology early on. They actually started to make us the standard across their portfolio and roll us out, not just in LA and the West Coast, but literally all across the US. Equity Office, another great partner of ours, you know, they started to roll us out in all of their buildings as well. And we started to see great traction within a whole bunch of different real estate portfolios. And so now we're sort of well entrenched in this spot. It makes it a lot easier because you've got a property manager at that portfolio who can, you know, be our case study to sort of say, look, I deployed this and here's how it improved my performance. Here's how it did this. Here's how it did that. And so it's a lot easier to gain traction now.
So, and then what was the point in time where you started with office, started with commercial properties that you then pivoted to other asset classes? Or I shouldn't say add on.
Right. So multifamily residential had always been like a huge opportunity for us. They typically have a separate way of managing the sort of common space and perimeter doors than they do the individual apartment units. And so we are a, you know, powered on wired solution, but we also integrate with wireless locks. And so it became very compelling for the multifamily developers and owners to deploy OpenPath on all the common doors, you know, the laundry room, the pool, the spa, the gym, the front door, the lobby, as well as the parking, and then integrate with some of the wireless lock providers that have integrations with us if they wanted to build out, you know, those locks into the actual apartment unit doors. Or sometimes they just stuck with key locks on the apartment unit doors. And so that was and has been a huge area of growth for us where we have a lot of traction. And we just launched, we're launching shortly a video intercom product, which is also very compelling. So it starts with this. We launched something called a video reader, where instead of having just, you know, your card reader at the door, the card reader has a camera built in, which becomes super useful if you want to see who's there at the door. We all have gotten used to that with a Ring doorbell at home where you can see who's there. Well, now you can see who's there built in with your reader. So that's super helpful. But by adding a video intercom capability to that, we've now made it such that it's a lot easier to have a conversation with the person who's at the door and make sure they're there to see the right person. And then you can remotely unlock it. So you can get, you know, a call on your phone and it can route to the right person so that if you're at a, you know, an office building, you can put routing in place. So it doesn't just go to the receptionist. And if the receptionist's not there, nobody answers, but it can route to, you know, a whole list of different people within the enterprise to make sure somebody always is there to answer it. And the same with the building security. So We've put a lot of cool technology in place that works for both multifamily residential and commercial office. And so that extends the ability for people to kind of do cool things with our tech.
And so, and then what's the revenue model? I mean, is it a one-time fee or is it a monthly subscription or how does it work?
So it's both. The customer will buy the hardware up front, hardware being the controller, which is what sits in the IT closet and wires up to all the doors, and the readers that get installed on each of the doors. They'll pay one of our installers who are, you know, third-party independent companies like system integrators to come in and do the labor, you know, do the wiring and put it all in and get it configured and set up. And then they'll pay us an annual fee for the software that's based on the number of doors, the number of users, and the technology package that they buy that allows them to just basically not have to manage on-premise servers and databases and upgrades to software. It's all cloud-based, so it's just, you know, scales with a click of a button. They don't have to do or deploy or anything.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when you started the company in, well, you started in 16, went to market in 18, you know, the market was a healthy market. I would say a normal amount of transactions from our perspective in terms of leasing and purchase and sale and financings. And then COVID, you know, was a, you know, problem in certain asset classes. I'd call it a 6-month blip, but in the office sector, it's still, it's, there's a lot of headwinds and the office market, even today, what now we're 3 years from the start of COVID, it is the one asset class within all of the asset classes where we transact, where there's a lot of pain. You know, people have not come back to the office in certain locations. Users of office are reducing their footprint. There's a lot of talk about conversions of office buildings to multifamily and just a lot of that talk. How does that impact, if at all, OpenPath?
Well, it, anytime there's a dynamic shift in the market, there's opportunity. And so we've seen that as a result of the downsizing of a lot of larger corporations in their physical office footprint, there has been an increased need for our technology. And that's because if you're, let's say, a large accounting firm and you have an access control system deployed in your 100 offices around the world, if you suddenly need 50 offices now, but you have long-term leases on the other 50 offices, you're going to become a landlord yourself. You're going to sublease those.
Sure.
You're going to have to rip your access control system out of those offices, however, and let the new tenant put one in. Or you as a sublessor are going to have to find a way to make your access control system multi-tenant so that you yourself can manage additional tenants on your access control system. Those legacy access control systems aren't set up to do that. Ours, however, is. And so you can basically, you know, say, look, do I go ahead and rip all of this capital infrastructure that I've deployed in all of these spaces out so that now I can try to get a tenant on board who's going to say, hey, I now have to go buy an access control system and put it in. You're going to have to pay for that. Or do I go ahead and swap my access control system out globally with a system that allows me to basically multi-tenant my system so that I can be a landlord and I can carve out pieces of it and not have it all on the same, you know, IT infrastructure that I run and manage. And so we've seen opportunity with tenants becoming landlords and having to manage a large portfolio of sublet, you know, leases and properties.
Sure.
Because our technology helps them with that. The other thing that we've seen is there's an increased desire to remotely manage in this new sort of economy, right? So just like property managers are remotely managing properties, you know, offices are being remotely managed. So even if you have an office and you're not coming in, the idea that you can now not have to come in to do all the things you need to do with your security system, but you can do it via the cloud, that's a hugely empowering. And so migrating to a system that's cloud-based like ours makes a ton of sense. And so we've seen that happen for both our physical access control systems as well as our video surveillance systems. The on-premise ones that require you to go into the office, log into a system, you know, manage it remotely, are all less in compelling to the modern business owner than these cloud-based systems that we're running right now. So again, within this sort of turmoil came opportunity. However, the net new office leases being signed is substantially down, and that was a driver of new business for us. And we've shifted a lot of our business to multifamily so that we continue to gain traction in the office space, and especially with the large portfolio owners of, you know, commercial real estate who want to make their, you know, product differentiated and flexible. We've grown substantially at a higher growth rate in the multifamily space. I will note this, there's so many portfolio owners who have converted their long-term lease space into flex space, and they've deployed our access control system as a way to manage that flex space a little bit easier. So if you build out spec space that you would otherwise have put on a 5 to 10 year lease, and now the economics are more, you know, short-term leases, 1 to 3 years. If you deploy an access control system in that space, it actually improves the turnaround time on that space in terms of being able to show it and get it off your books, because you can remotely give people tours and they can easily access it. But even better, you can, you know, just basically in the cloud change it. And so you don't have to wait another extra month for system integrators to come in and re-rip out a system that was in before, put in all new wiring and all that stuff. So we've improved the time to get that product off of your books and leased.
Mm-hmm. So in the commercial space, is a higher percentage of your customers the landlord or the tenant?
The tenant.
Uh-huh. And then as you go into other asset classes, is commercial still the primary, like the largest asset class of real estate as a customer base?
Yes. Yeah, I'd say for now, businesses, enterprises are our largest sort of, you know, class of customer on the OpenPath access control side. As a broader, you know, customer base, you know, we have had a lot of traction with schools, mm-hmm. with houses of worship, with gyms. We've had a tremendous amount of traction in industrial, where there's, you know, these office parks that have, you know, both a combination of office, industrial and retail. And like we've kind of seen folks really wanted to deploy a single system there. It's kind of crazy. What do we call labs? I'm spacing on that space.
Life science.
Life science. Sorry. Life science has grown really, really fast over the pandemic, especially. So we have
talk the real estate lingo.
I know. I'm spaced for a moment there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So everything's kind of growing at a good rate. I'd say schools in particular have been really, really.
So when you say schools, like public schools, private schools, colleges.
K through 12, more so than EDU. But there's been a huge investment because of all the security challenges, unfortunately, that we run into at schools these days in the K through 12 space to really sort of lock down and securitize these school campuses. And so access control and video surveillance are a key component of that. And so we just have a tremendous amount of growth there. And there's a lot of grant money out there as well that's funding that. So a lot of money's been poured into that category. And so there's just a lot.
Are public schools able to have the budgeting to purchase not just independent schools? What, in our remaining time here, to the extent you can talk about, just curious about how you guys were originally capitalized and different rounds of financing and equity raising before you ended up selling to Motorola, to the extent you can talk about it.
Yeah. So it's been a while, so I have to kind of think about it. We initially funded the company ourselves. The founders led our first round, where we did take some outside money from a few local venture capital firms and some friends and family. And then a company called Emergence Capital, which is a really well-known sort of Silicon Valley-based venture firm, led our first institutional round, which was our Series B. And I think they put around, that was about a $20 million round. So about seven in our first, about 20 in our second. And then our next round after that was led by Graycroft, which is a really well-known venture firm. And we had some strategic investors also invest in that round. That was Lincoln Property Company, Allegion, which is a big lock manufacturer. They make Schlage, if you're familiar with that brand, Van Duprin, and a bunch of others. We had a decent amount of money that we raised, I think, at the end of basically at the beginning of 21. You know, we were, you know, sitting on, you know, quite a lot of money that we had raised in a pre-COVID round, and we're just growing at a really good pace, and did not expect, again, to get acquired. But Motorola came along and made us an offer that just made too much sense.
You could not refuse. So I alluded to asking this question, so I'm going to ask it now. What is it like working for a large company, and in all of your other ventures that you went round trip, did you spend any time working for the company that ended up buying you?
Yeah. So when Verizon bought us in the last company, we worked there a year and a half.
Okay. So you're used to working for a big company then?
Yeah. And then, you know, prior to that, we'd worked for the companies that had acquired our prior ones. You know, I started off my career at Mattel Toys, which was obviously a pretty big company, and was a brand manager there for Hot Wheels. So that was a ton of fun. But I will tell you this, Motorola Solutions is a very focused company that has very clear objectives and is absolutely committed to hitting them. And that is something I really like. This is not a company that changes its strategy every year and kind of, you know, has to constantly pivot and kind of, and I've been at companies like that. So Motorola Solutions knows exactly where they want to go. We are a part of that program and that plan. And the fact that within the division I'm in, which has grown tremendously through, you know, acquisition, many of the founders of the companies that have been acquired are still there in leadership roles. It's kind of a proof positive that this business knows how to acquire businesses, motivate the founding teams to stay on board, and has a clear understanding of what they want to do in this market to, you know, be market leaders. So I feel like the reason we were growing at the rate we were and committed to our mission at OpenPath was because we felt we could change the industry. We felt we could become, you know, this multi-billion dollar market leader. And the fact that Motorola came along and said, hey, I can get you there faster if you join up with me, that made a ton of sense. And so we're in the process of achieving that goal now. And I feel that we are really changing the industry for the better, at least in the physical security space. So for me and the rest of my colleagues, like, we're all really excited. So look, every day that I get up, I skip to work and I'm pretty pumped about it. And I really do like it. So I have to say that, you know, I hope nothing changes.
Well, you're a great skipper. I've seen you skipping around town. All right. I always like to end my podcast with a lightning round. I will try. And everyone knows that I literally have no script. And usually I do it with real estate professionals. So here I go with a professional in the tech business. So let's try and do it. My first question is always, if you weren't in the real estate business, you are not in the real estate business, you're in the tech business, and you've had so many different round trips. So I don't know, give me one profession that you would like to be doing that you haven't done yet.
Improv comedy. I would love to be an improv comedian, just, you know, playing all day and doing that. That would be tremendous.
You would crush it. I'd sign. I'd pay at least $5 to watch you.
That's $5 more than I have now, so I will take that.
Yeah, says a guy who sold his company to Motorola. An asset class that you haven't yet penetrated that you feel your technology would be just gangbusters for?
I don't think that we've penetrated healthcare to the degree that we need to or could, and that is a huge opportunity. The idea that you don't have to touch a reader with your hand, that you don't have to be troubled by wearing a badge. Every medical professional in a hospital is carrying around a phone, and, you know, they need to be sterile when they go into the ER or they go into the surgery. And the idea that you can just have, you know, a contact-free access that is secure, that seems to be a great fit, but we really haven't penetrated that space yet. And I think that's just because of the selling cycle is so long, and they really want a solution to be well hardened and proven, but we'll get there.
besides OpenPath, what technology have you seen that can just completely be a game changer in the real estate industry?
The stuff that I'm seeing on the video AI, artificial intelligence side of the house here at Motorola Solutions has blown my mind.
How would it work for in the real estate world?
And so you think about, the cameras that you have set up in your buildings today that, let's say, do a function. So license plate recognition, you get a camera that's set up and it can basically, track a car coming in, authenticate that that car is legit and open the gate and have that car, but that can also do,
we have that at our building, at our prehistoric building. We have that technology.
There you go. So that camera, as well as the ones that are all over the building, can do so much more for you, right? So those cameras inherently are sensors. So they have the ability to manage and monitor temperature. They can understand noise. They can do a host of different things around, looking at the different objects that are coming in front of it. And so if you think about occupancy management, right, if you think about a manufacturing facility that is wanting to make sure that you keep noise at a certain level, or if you have temperature sensors because you're storing things in a warehouse or in a specific part of your facility that need to be at a given temperature, the ability to sort of have your cameras become sensors and that feed into an AI system that tells you so much more information so that you can proactively manage your space, I think that's tremendously powerful. So,
Interesting. All right, last question. If on a scale of 1 to 10, if 10 is like an industry that is most accepting of technology, and 1 is I hate technology, I want to live in the prehistoric ages, where does real estate fall into in that gradient of 1 to 10 in accepting of technology?
Yeah. So 6 years ago when I started, real estate was a 3. I'd say now real estate's a 5.
Okay. I think that's fair. I am seeing a lot of cool technologies from Placer to Placer, obviously OpenPath, and so many different ways that real estate can operate in a more efficient, cost-effective way. And I think companies like yourselves and others are really helping our clients achieve that goal. It's all about increasing IRR, and you're there to help do that.
Yeah. Well, thanks. It's interesting to sort of see how this real estate space has changed over time. You and I have had many a conversation about how, over the last couple of years, the deal volume for your firm and the industry in general has just skyrocketed, right? You just can't hire lawyers fast enough. The amount of transaction volume out there is crazy. And that's because there's so much opportunity in real estate, right?
Yep.
And I know that the asset classes that people are focused on changes, right? The capital, our access to capital changes. And whether they're rich deals or distressed deals, there's just a lot of deals that are always happening. And I think that's the one thing about this industry that I really like. It's not stagnant. It is constantly changing. Buildings are being built, buildings are being renovated. Enterprise and university and all these different tenants have really complex needs that are changing over time, and they're pushing landlords to change the nature of things. Retail has completely changed. Residential has completely changed. So I think that it's a really hot and great, cool space to be in, and I'm excited about it. So I love being a part of the real estate industry, even though, like you said, I'm on the periphery, sort of selling into it. Having learned so much about it, it's a very dynamic space.
Yeah. Look, I mean, I wouldn't even say on the periphery. There's, three aspects, so many more aspects of real estate, but the main three, right? Finding the deals, capitalizing the deals, and then operating the deals. And so you are really central in operating and making sure that the clients that we have, at least on the landlord side, that their projections and pro formas are obtained. And from a secure perspective, from an economic efficiency perspective, and so often a lot of my clients are so focused on the first two components of finding deals and capitalizing deals that they don't spend the necessary time and money in operating it and recognizing that their tenants, whether it's residential tenants, commercial tenants, they are their customers. And if their customers aren't happy, then they're going to go to the building down the street who has the open path technology and other technologies. It's a very competitive landscape in the real estate business. And I think landlords in 2023, they get that. And they need technology like yourself.
Yeah, so. Couldn't agree more. Well said, Andrew. Well said.
Well, I could be a spokesman for Motorola Solutions on behalf of OpenPath. James, you're a good friend. I really appreciate you coming on and really educating our listeners as to OpenPath and the technology and all the services that you can provide. And just love being able to spend some time together.
I enjoyed it. Thanks for having me on. It's a great, great podcast. I plan on listening to mine.
To at least one of them. Yeah. All right, Jane, take care. Thank you all.
Thanks. Bye.
You've been listening to Real Talk, Real Estate Discussions with Andrew Kirsch. You can catch prior episodes at scholarkirsch.com and on YouTube, LinkedIn, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and more. Thank you for your positive reviews, comments, and for sharing the show with others.